I'm Glenn Ojard from News of the North, and here's a special internet-only broadcast. As hundreds of folks in Juneau marched from the steps of the Capitol on Saturday, January 20th, in solidarity with other women around the country, a small group of four people were standing and holding up pro-life signs outside of Planned Parenthood, which is right across the street from the Juneau Radio Center. I walked over, and three of them were willing to give me an interview. Jim and Sarah Rose Miller, as well as Patty Morgan, gave me honest, heartfelt, and detailed reasons for the basis of their belief. Let's just go in the order that I did it. Here's Miss Patty Morgan first. I asked her why she was there, and she said,
"To stand up for the unborn women. Also, love saves lives." We'll be at the Right to Life March on Monday at the Capitol steps, and I would just urge anybody that loves the Lord and is pro-life, but even if you're on the fence and you don't know why you believe what you believe, come out and support women, especially unborn women. And it's been on my heart for many, many years that we need to stand up for the unborn. At one point, I had a scripture come to me, which is Proverbs 24, 11, and 12, and it says, "Rescue those that are unjustly put to death. Don't say you didn't know, because God, who knows all hearts, knows you knew, and he will judge everyone according to his purpose." And so I think it's important that we stand up for the downtrodden. And it's not about choice. If you're talking about a woman's choice, this is not her choice to kill a child that's separate. You know, a child is a child from conception to natural death. And you can't, I mean, even science has proven, science is pro-life, that the baby feels pain at 20 weeks. You can't just destroy something because you made a mistake. And I'd also urge anybody that's thinking about having an abortion to seek help, to ask, call me. I'm Patty Morgan, Teacher Patty.
What other services would you recommend if someone, say, got pregnant and they didn't want to end it via abortion?
I would say there are many, many services. There's, you know, the hospital up here and the Life Center or the birthing center. If you need help, call your local church. See who you can call to get help. There are so many people, St. Vincent's de Paul and Love Inc., ministries around this town that can help you. So abortion is not the answer. Life is the answer. And I remember one time I was standing here and a woman came up and stopped her car, and she was very angry, and she said, "Are you a foster parent?" And I said, "Well, no." "Well, now I am. I'm the grandmother, a full-time stay-at-home grandmother for a 7-year-old autistic granddaughter."
And so that critique, it forced you to make a hard but positive change.
Well, it didn't force me right away. It just, she kind of fell into my lap because of my daughter's choices. And unfortunately, you know, I pray for my daughter every day, but I would say it was God's choice to bring me to taking care of my granddaughter. And it's been a blessing. And yes, I would say be a foster parent. Do whatever you can to help, you know, the young and the abused, the homeless. That's our calling, is to be a saint and to love one another with our deeds, not just by our mouths, but with our deeds. And so this is why I'm here today. I just feel that God has called us to stand up for the unborn and also for those that are downtrodden. That's what Pope Francis wants us to do. That's what the Bible says. Be a saint, be holy. And that's what we're called to do.
Well, and I think you're really fighting for a form of justice. And I think that's interesting because the people downtown, you know, they have their own form of justice in that it's a choice. But you're more concerned with the unborn fetus. So for someone who's maybe on the fence or doesn't have the position that you have, what do you think you need to do to convince them of your position?
I would say pray for them and continue to be kind, and also not get angry because it doesn't do any good, but to maybe let them see that love is still the best answer, that adoption is very hard. Many couples are going to China and places out of the United States because they can't have a baby. So if a mother is considering abortion, the best thing she can do is give her baby life. You know, it's a gift from God. So I would say pray, but also seek help. The aftermath of abortion for women who regret their abortions, and I was actually one of those who had to have an abortion to save the mother's life, but I lost a child, and I felt that. I am listed in my health records that I had 6 children when I've only had 5, but my milk came in. So I'm just saying that, you know, abortion's not the answer. There is regret. It's not just mothers or women that are going through depression and suicide or going into drug use because of the guilt they feel. First of all, God is merciful and He forgives. But it's also the men that might have helped with an abortion, or else they didn't know about it. Their girlfriend had the abortion, or their wives, or the grandparents. Life is always better than death and destruction, and God's mercy is the greatest. And I think we just need to know that He is merciful beyond our thoughts or our means. And I would say that to the women that are marching for women's rights. Well, give the right of your unborn child, who may be a female, that right to life, or for that matter, a male. God's mercy is always better, and life is always better.
Miss Patty Morgan, what church were you from again?
I'm from the Cathedral of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
And where is that?
That's downtown on 5th and Harris, and it's just a couple blocks away from the courthouse. I have been there for many years. I was raised Catholic, and so I love the Lord, and I'm thankful for His gift to me and my children. I have 5 daughters and 21 going on 22 grandchildren. So I'm very blessed.
Excellent. Well, this has been a truly beautiful interview, and I can't wait to curate it. Thank you so much. Is there anything that you want to close with?
Just for everyone, pray for those that hurt you, but also seek God's mercy is always greater than anything we can ask or think. He can heal the hurts that we have inflicted on ourselves. He can heal this nation. I pray an end to abortion. It's not the answer. Life is the answer. Love is the answer. One thing that really helped me, Mother Teresa, the day I got my granddaughter, I had listened to a video of Mother Teresa, and she was, I think, at the United Nations, but she was talking in front of President Bill Clinton and Mrs. Hillary Clinton. She said, abortion is the worst travesty in America's life. And she says, if you don't want your children, give them to me. I'll take them. And that was a clincher, because right after that, I received my granddaughter. And God has been blessing me ever since. And God is healing her, and He's healing me because of His mercy. So I would just think about what you're saying. It's not our bodies. It's not our choice to kill another human being, ever. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
I moved on over to Jim Miller, who said that.
We're out here giving justice. I like when you asked about justice. In the Bible, when God says do justice, it basically means when you see something's wrong with your society, do something to fix it or stand up for that. And in this sense, we're, you know, and I agree very much with what Patty said, you know, we're giving voice to the unborn. You know, they don't have a voice. And I understand when people are, women and men, that are faced with pregnancy due to, quite frankly, probably in a relationship that's not covered by marriage, in a relationship where their passions were involved and they, you know, didn't do birth control and things like that, you know, things that they possibly learned in school or from their parents, you know, that stuff goes out the window when you get passionate, and now they're pregnant and they're 17, they're scared, they don't know what to do. And somehow a group of people out there say, well, hey, have an abortion. It's an easy fix. And, you know, Patty really much talked about, like, a lot of the tragedy and the angst, the guilt, the things that happen. Abortion fixes the short-term problem, but it doesn't fix the long-term problem. That's a problem of the heart. You know, why did these kids do this? You know, what were they thinking? You know, our actions have consequences, and that's something that's hard for young people to understand. And the consequence of killing an unborn baby, maybe not weigh on them right away, but I've talked with a lot of women and men. I have personal friends that have gone through abortion, and you know, these guys are, and these women are 40, 50 years old, and they're still bothered by this. That's something they did 30 or 40 years ago. It weighs so heavily on them, and many of them have found forgiveness and are walking an upright life, and are very much a different opinion now on abortion, but that still weighs on them. It doesn't go away. You know, when I'm out here, if I can get someone to think about their choice, because the culture of the United States, you know, is looking for the easy fix. Raising a kid's hard. I've raised 3 daughters, and let me tell you, there's no book, there's no class to take. You make mistakes, but you know what? I wouldn't go back and say, I wish I didn't have my children, you know, and I think that's what our society preys upon young people and says, hey, get this problem fixed quickly. And it's easy, and it doesn't hurt. Those are all lies. They're very much a lie. The prince of this world is Satan, and Jesus said he's a liar and there's no truth in him. If you look at the founding of Planned Parenthood, for example, you know, we're here standing in front of Planned Parenthood. It's no mistake that we're here in front of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a eugenist. You know, she was a disciple of Adolf Hitler. A lot of people don't know that, but it's easily you can go on the internet and do a little research and find out, you know, this person had an agenda. This person had a plan. You know, she thought, you know, Hitler was doing with the Jews was a wonderful thing. I mean, and this is the founder of Planned Parenthood.
I did my my senior thesis on eugenics and how it has evolved throughout time, because it started with the negative eugenics of Hitler and the Nazis and killing, but now it's gotten to the point where either people who have enough money or people who can get the service, they're able to call at will. It's interesting because the people that have the most money, they are able to alter the traits of their children. You know, they can have 12 eggs that are inseminated and then pick the best of that. What do you think about that?
You know, when we start playing God, we get what we pay for. Here's an interesting thing to think about. You know, the Roe v. Wade started roughly 1970. Since 1970, look at your culture in the United States. Is it a better culture? Is it a safer culture? Or is it a more angry and more violent culture? How many kids blew up schools and shot up movie theaters before 1970? I can't think of any. But now, all of a sudden, it's a rash. When you prey upon young people and you tell them very directly or indirectly that life isn't sacred, this is what you get. This is what we live in a society now where life is seen to be not important. I mean, from road rage to all sorts of things that are happening that the average person scratches their head and says, why is this happening? And I could take them and shake them and say, look what you've done. You've killed millions and millions and millions of children, and you've given this message to the young people that life is no longer sacred, and now we're reaping. You know, God says if you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind, and we're reaping it. And it's like, you know, so I'm out here like the Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. I know the dike's going to break. There's no doubt in my mind the dike's going to break. Our society is irreparable. But if I can get one person to rethink their idea of having an abortion, I'll stand out here as long as it takes, you know. I've been working with kids all my life. You know, it's been what my ministry's been. It's been my jobs. You know, I've been a swimming instructor. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I do Bible studies for young people. And you know what? Kids are impressionable. I'd like to impress them with the right stuff, though.
I think it's interesting that you note that we're kind of increasing in our severity of this problem of killing children, millions. I studied anthropology, and one of the things that I noted about all cultures is every single culture had some way of disposing of unwanted children, you know, whether it's the river, or there was a Mexican culture that used the bark of a tree as basically an after the event pill. Do you think it's possible that the reason it seems that it's so much more prevalent is because social media, it's just in our pockets, or it's just on the TV, you know, we just have more exposure to more people? Or do you think it's that people are becoming more inclined to infanticide?
Well, the Bible's pretty specific about as time goes on, the heart of man will become colder. It says the love of many will grow cold. In the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you know, Christ lists out all these things that are going to happen in the future. One of the things, you know, increase in murders, increases in disobedience to parents, increase of drug use, increase of this. It's amazing, actually, pretty much spelled out the increases that we wouldn't think that the scripture would have any idea about, but it's right there. And the increase in violence, and violence against the unborn, is just one form of violence that our society is experiencing. You know, we're having the exposure of police brutality, for example, or the exposure of abuse in the school system, or this or that, stuff that, you know, social media is exposing in some ways for good, you know, in a sense that, you know, these are problems that were probably there for many years, abuses, and, you know, of course it can go to the other end, but it could become a witch hunt too, you know. But I mean, if we take the middle course, we can see that, you know, there's some things that shouldn't be happening in our society yet. You know, if people of America are concerned and want to do justice, and again, the biblical version of justice is to see something that's wrong with your society and try to help and try to fix. And as Christians, you know, we're called to be the voice for those that don't have a voice. You know, Christ was very, very concerned about children and other people that didn't have a voice, whether they be handicapped, mentally impaired. I mean, these people are all people. They all have a right to live. It's not just this, you know, being pro-life, you know. I mean, people say, well, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? And I'm like, well, let's just get back to basics. Life is good. you know, my sign right here kind of says it all. It says, your mom chose life. I mean, it's kind of irrefutable logic. I mean, it's like, your mom wanted you to live. I mean, you're here, you're alive. You know, you might not have been the best parents. Being a parent's hard. You know, your parents probably made mistakes, and you probably got mad at them, and you may have even ran away from home. But, you know, many years later, when you have a kid, you call up your mom and say, and call up your dad and say, hey, I'm sorry. And they go, what for? And I go, for everything, you know, because you realize how hard it is to be a parent. And, you know, we need to have a lot of forgiveness and mercy towards people and towards each other. And we're only human. You know, we're standing out here holding up signs, but, you know, we have our own issues, our own problems, our own thoughts. You know, we're just like everybody else. But, you know, we want to make a stand, you know, and I've been doing this for a long, long time. And you know what? You know, I believe the pro-life movement's making a lot of gains. There's abortion clinics closing. You know, I mean, it's a business. Planned Parenthood is a business. 80% of their funding comes from abortions. That's wrong. That's just wrong. And, you know, they always play the card that, oh, we're helping kids and we're helping families. We're helping this. It's like, you know, that's your cover story. If you feel that way, then just stop abortions. But they won't, because that's where they get all their money.
Jim Miller, this has been a wonderful interview. Is there anything that you'd like to close with?
Well, I just encourage people, you know, to be a stand. I mean, if a person drives by and gives a honk, we appreciate that. And I would say, you know, if you're interested in, first, be prayerful. You know, be prayerful. Prayer is the key. Prayer's the key. You know, God's well aware of the problem, but God uses us as his agents. You know, could he snap his fingers and make things disappear? Sure he could, but that's, you know, he's not going to interfere with our will. He wants the sinner, the person who is going to go and do something very, very wrong, he wants them to change. You know, that's why he sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins. We all are sinners. We all came from that point of not knowing God. And, you know, when I was 25 years old before that, I did not know God, you know. And after 25, when I got saved, life changed. Life changed dramatically. And God opened my eyes to what was going on in the world, where before I was just, it was all about me. It's all about Jim, you know. And now it's hopefully not all about me. And I have to fight that. I have to fight that selfishness. But I want it to be all about everyone else. And, you know, if I'm standing out here and, like, again, if I can persuade one person in their mind to think, you know what, I'm just not going to have that abortion. I'm going to raise this kid and I'm just going to take a chance and see what happens. And you know what? Take a chance. Take a chance on your kid. Take a chance on God. You know, take a chance on life, because it sure beats death. There's no chances there.
Excellent. Thank you so much, sir.
And last, I talked to Jim's daughter, Sarah Rose Miller, and here's what she had to say.
I'm here because I believe life is a gift, that it's precious, that kids are precious, and life deserves a fighting chance, and that God gave us life. It's a gift. Every breath and heartbeat is a gift from God.
Excellent. One of the things that Jim mentioned was that choosing to have a child, it's a hard choice. I've just recently become a father, and even though it has been some of the most trying times, it's been really rewarding. How would you try and convince somebody of the potential reward as opposed to what's going to be happening in this building right here?
I would try to say that life is, again, precious. You get a new being, a new human being that has all these opportunities and things to experience in this life, from just the beauty of the mountains to just experiencing love. Each kid is unique, each life is unique, and it's just, yeah, great. Life is beautiful. It's hanging out, when you hang out with kids, I like that. I was a water safety instructor. I taught kids just to see their joy at discovering different things and seeing that just experiencing life is good.
Man, I feel like I'm out of all my good questions. is there anything that you want to add at all?
Just as Patty and Dad was saying, like, life is much more better choice than death. Death is not the answer. From the man to the woman to the unborn baby, there's other healthier options than abortion. There's other healthier options than death and destruction. There's wounds that abortion can cause. People are depressed. I know two men who regretted that their girlfriends got an abortion, and these were years later. Life is precious. Kids are precious. From kids to elderly, God loves people. He loves the world. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He took our place, and that gift is precious. Don't ever let it go.
I want to sincerely thank Patty Morgan, Jim Miller, and Sarah Rose Miller for giving me so much of their time and thought and energy. And I want to thank everybody who came along on this deep dive into somebody else's perspective. I'm Glenn Ojard for News in the North, and, you know, we got to keep doing this because this was really fun. Come see me again at KINYRadio.com.